For the scripture reading, for my part in this, we're going to look at Psalm 14, and we'll read Psalm 14, and we'll have a few words to say about that in just a second. So, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 14, all right. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord, there they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captive, the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, and Israel be glad. So, when I was in college, one year I decided to be an RA. If you're not familiar with that, it's somebody who is one of the students who's kind of in one of the leads leaders inside of a dormitory, and so a resident assistant is what they call them. So I was that for a year in college, and one of the things that we had at the front desk, one of the things we had to do was we had to have certain number of hours at the front desk to sign people in and out and things of that nature, guests and whatnot. And on the we had a whiteboard in the back, and so I decided to test something out, and I decided, why don't I write some Bible verses up here on this whiteboard? Man, I mean, the worst they can do is tell me to stop, right? So I started off with one that I really enjoyed, and that was from James 4, I think around verse 16 or so, where it says, or I think 14, where it says, "What is your life? It is but a vapor." Right, I started out with that one, and I remember that one very well because one of the students came by, man, and said, "I didn't know that was in the Bible." It's like, yeah, it was in the Bible, and so then I got bold and I started putting verses after verses. I think once I did Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" And then I got really bold and did Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Well, you can imagine that that didn't go over very well with a whole lot of people. But you know, as I said, the worst they could do is tell me to stop, and they did. And so this particular verse kind of did that for them. The fool. Now, if we understand some of the aspects of the Bible, especially the King James and New King James versions, if there is a words in italics are not words that are in the original, and so in this particular chapter or in this particular psalm, the fool has said in his heart, "No God." Maybe he acknowledges that he exists, maybe he doesn't. But whatever his thought on the existence of God, he's not listening to him. "No, God, I'm not going to listen to you." The fool does this. And such people who do this are corrupt. These types of fools are corrupt. They do abominable works, and none of them are good. And so then it says there is not, so one of the things that bringing it back to the text, and perhaps one of the things that we see that Calvinists often do with this passage, and the subsequent passage in Romans 3 that quotes from this, is that they will take this and take this as an absolute, that no one is righteous and that no one has ever done anything good of their own. And then they draw out the doctrine of total depravity from it. And that's not what we read in this passage. What does verse 5 say? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. So wait. I thought you said there was none that who does good, that there is no one who is righteous. Well, what it says here is that there are certain people, a whole generation sometimes, of people who just aren't righteous. It's sort of a generality of a particular thing, and an exaggeration almost. And that's what we see sometimes in the book of the Psalms, and in a lot of the poetry that we see in Scripture, that sometimes they use these figures of speech, these exaggerations or hyperboles is the technical term for it. And so what we note is that there is none righteous, no, not one. Generally speaking, people aren't good people. They aren't righteous. But then there are some who are. So then how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile that? Well, Romans tells us in one way in that we can. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is 100% righteous. No one. And everyone at Romans 6, 23, if all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, well, then we're all sinners. We've all sinned and we're all worthy of death and destruction. But as those who say no to God, none of them are good at all. And those now, you know, there are atheists out there who are very benevolent and who do wonderful works. But in the end, it doesn't do you any good, because in the end, who are the people who are saved? Is it the people who do good things? Or is it the people who are saved in the blood of Christ? Now, automatically, if you are a Christian, you will want to do good things. So it's not like you're gonna try to, you're the most evil person in the world and you think you're a Christian. No. That's not how it works. You've got to be a Christian. You've got to be saved. You've got to be in the blood of Christ, and you've got to be doing what God says, following after what God says. You will want to be a Christian. You will want to do and to live as a Christian. In fact, Romans 6, 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Well, we can't. And so we have died to sin, and we need to continue walking in the righteous way. So for this particular psalm, Psalm 14, let us say yes to God. Let's not say no to God. Let's say yes to God. Let's listen to him and follow after him. Only then can we be considered righteous. Only then will we be able to belong to Christ and have a hope of heaven. And the only way in which we can expect that is if we are in the blood of Christ. If we have become a Christian, and the only way to get into the blood of Christ is to obey the gospel, and we see how to do that in some of the passages that we've talked about today. We note that we are to believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first thing that we've got to do. Now, obviously, we've got to hear the gospel, and that's how we come to faith. So we've got to hear, we've got to believe the gospel. We've got to repent of our sins, turn away from. How can we live any longer in our sinful lives if our old man has been crucified? Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's confess the name of Christ, not just today, not just the moment of our conversion, but every day. Let's confess the name of Christ. And we've got to be baptized. I mean, when we see, we quoted from Romans 6, 1 and 2, we can't forget 3 and 4, where it says that, don't you know, as many of you as been baptized, well, no, so that's, I get those mixed up because the phrase is there, baptized into Christ. And so, if you've been baptized into Christ, you've been buried with Christ into his death. And so that's what we see in Romans 6, chapter 3. If we are baptized into Christ, we are buried with him in baptism. Man, isn't that great? That's how we contact his blood, through baptism. Remember, of course, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, where Ananias tells Paul to arise. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Be baptized, wash away your sins. That's how you wash away your sins, in baptism, calling on the name of the Lord. So if you want to become a Christian, that's how you do it. In a second, we'll have a song, and in that song, we'll have, well, next to the song, if you're following along with us online, you'll see instructions on the screen, and I pray that you'll take advantage of that. We want you to become a Christian. We want you to be baptized into the blood of Christ, so that, and into water, with Christ, so that you can be saved. And if you are a Christian already and you need to make things right with Him, please come forward as we sing this song.